Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
...1997, King of the Ring, baby.
Just realizing we should have had a crown. Should have been wearing a crown.
Yeah.
Do you have your, like, prom king crown?
We all know I wasn't prom king.
Who was prom? You weren't prom king?
I was not, no. I went 1 year.
That was when you were, like, 24. I remember that one. That was awkward.
Yeah, she was hot though.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally, she was totally hot. Banging junior. Yeah. So
junior.
Yeah, she was a junior.
Yeah, of course. That's so funny.
Oh man, what a good paper. So best pay per view we've ever seen.
I was gonna ask you that probably at the end of the episode, but let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Without spoilers, I think it is.
I think it is too. And I was hoping I would say that and you would be like, no, what about this one? But I think this really was a good one.
Well, I was trying to think what won, and I think a lot of them have had one really good match.
This is a lot of good matches.
And I don't know if it helped. Like, the first half was mediocre. The second half was awesome. Three great matches, the last three.
Yeah.
And even that six-man tag.
Yeah, I also think Mankind, Jerry the King Lawler, I thought was going to be a squash match, but that ended up being like a really good match too, yeah. So, majority, I'm going to give this one, an A.
You're giving it an A already? Yeah. Off the dome. Give it an A.
From what we've seen so far, definitely an A pay-per-view.
Put it in the A category. I would agree.
Okay.
Definitely an A.
You're going to put it in the A category
put
too?
Put it in the A, straight up in the A. Hey, Tone?
Let's get this pay-per-view started, but I know... You returned cans earlier today.
Right? I did return cans. And I was excited. Well, you know, I got a party coming up this weekend. I wanted to, you know, by the time this airs, we'll have already been, you know, at the court cases for the DUIs resulting from the party. But I had some cans on the porch I needed to return. Took them in. Already, when I'm going in, lady on a bike. Like four garbage bags of cans. She rode her bike with that.
Well, with gas prices, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, she's probably had to do that to get the gas money.
Yeah, that is true. Full circle.
I get in there. I can't believe it. Every station's working. I start to return my cans.
Mm-hmm.
No problems at all. Only problem I had... was I kept getting error message for sticking my hand too far in there.
Well,
and the only person who says that is Sunny when we're back in the wrestle vessel. She's like, the hand too far in.
Yeah, she gives the old error message.
Yeah, and other than that, I do the cans. I'm good. I have an unusual amount of glass bottles to return to.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what it was, but the majority of them wouldn't get returned. I guess they were Illinois ones, and they were Angry Orchards, dude. And I got so mad.
Well,
I was trying to put them in.
I got beef with a lot of guys that drink cider, so.
Is it just cider, or is it Angry Orchard? That's my question.
Specifically.
Because it made me angry. I was Angry Orchard, dude.
Yeah, so was that guy at the bar.
Yeah, well, I just had to throw away. I have to throw away like five, maybe like a whole case or so of glass bottles. So like $1.50
okay.
Just wasted because they were Illinois or whatever. But
overall, A experience?
Overall, probably my best can returning experience that I've had in terms of ease of returning cans. Bottles, not so much. Also had a funny thought because there was a girl there like around my age. Not unattractive. Like nose piercing and tattoos, so like you know,
so
she'd be down for anal in the can depository. And
you could stick.
And
her
I was just like,
in,
man, I should just ask her out, because wouldn't that be a place to get asked out?
Yeah, and that would make for a great kid story.
I know. I'm like, I can't.
You gotta do it for the.
I am in a hurry
listeners.
Here. I can't.
Oh,
I can't bang this chick in the can depository. Her hand would get too far in too quick. But Great experience. I got like $7, and I spent it pretty quickly. So
yeah, back on more cans.
More cans. Yeah, so a little, some laundry detergent. Okay. And some deodorant. You know, cool. Like, the essentials.
For sure. Let's get into this. We are in Providence, Rhode Island, home of the
Providence, Rhode Islanders.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. I was drawing a blank for some reason.
I think they're the Friars. University of Providence is the Friars.
What's the origin of that?
Like, Friars are like priests. Hmm. And it might be.
You ever get banged by a friar?
No, I've banged in a fryer before, but no, yeah.
Sounds hot.
Yeah. Bang ready.
Let's get this thing going. We have the semifinals, which is going to be Ahmed Johnson versus Triple H in the King of the Ring tournament. And we also have the other semifinals, which is going to be Mankind and Jerry the King Lawler. And we are shooting it off with Ahmed Johnson versus Triple H. And I know we talked, either one of these guys can...
And this is the second time they faced each other in this tournament already.
Oh, yeah.
So, anything could happen. But what we saw in the first match was that Ahmed won via DQ, but he probably would have won anyway. So, we'll see how this one goes. And then there was a weird, I guess, legality issue. Triple H didn't know he couldn't.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Pretty good one, huh?
White privilege at its best.
Because I did know I couldn't do that.
The Hunter Hearst Helmsley pulls that card with the referees, and he gets another shot, and he's in the semifinal here against Ahmed. And not a great match.
I didn't really care for it, yeah.
Probably the worst one on this card.
I would agree with that. So. Yeah, yeah.
But gets the job done. Nothing crazy going on here, right? There's some outside the ring action.
No, yeah, I'll get into it. Yeah, we can breeze through this one. So outside the ring, Triple H throws Ahmed into the stairs, working on the kidneys. A little bit of outside the ring action.
The kidney.
Oh, kidney. That's right.
Yeah,
sorry.
Shouldn't have put it on.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And then inside the ring, Ahmed hits the Spinebuster and goes to set up for the Pearl River Plunge, but China is on the ropes. Distracts Ahmed and the ref is trying to get China out of there, and Ahmed turns around and Triple H hits the pedigree. 1, 2, 3. So Triple H is now going to the finals for the King of the Ring. And next, our match is going to be Mankind versus Jerry the King Lawler to see who advances to face Triple H. And Mankind is in the ring, and he's got the mic, and he's throwing a little shade at Paul Bearer.
Yeah, he gets
saying
a whole interview here, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he does a whole interview inside the ring and says that, you know, Uncle Paul apparently has some better things to do. Recapping on that, Paul Bearer is kind of has Undertaker under his wing and control, if you will. And, you know, Mankind is asking the crowd, you know, what kind of king do they expect him to be? Go on.
I like his promo here. And this is, I think, we're starting to see Mankind, the joking around Mankind. So before, he's just saying creepy stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Now he's getting into the comedy side, and he's trying to crack some jokes, although they're still kind of creepy jokes.
Right.
So he has a couple here where he talks about, this is actually a good line, not so much a joke. He says, Jerry Lawler isn't a king, he's just a pawn in Mankind's game.
I like that line.
That's a good line. He also talks about the Emperor's new clothes, you know, where he's naked. It's just he's naked, walking around naked. Yeah. That's what king's going to be. And he says, the only thing scarier than king walking around naked would be me walking around naked.
Yeah.
And another great line, funny.
Yeah.
He's got dark. The crowd behind him a little bit. Yeah. So I think we're seeing that face turn. And this is where I'm thinking, and I know we had the bet that you said Mankind will win the tournament, and I took Triple H, but I'm thinking here Mankind is going to get that face turn and win it pretty clear at this point. At least that's my thoughts at that juncture.
Too, yeah. So Jerry the King Lawler comes out, and he's doing a little bit of a promo himself, basically calling everyone in the crowd a bunch of idiots and saying that they were going to soon be bowing to him. And he says, he goes up to a woman in the crowd. He goes, looks like, I guess the massage parlor was closed today. And then he goes up to this redneck guy. And he's like, does your parole officer know you're out this late? So he's just giving it to the fans. And then he starts digging at Mankind, and he says that, you know, when his mom gave birth, he looked at his ass, then looked at his face, and she said, "My God, Siamese twins!"
That's a good line. I had that written down. It was going to be my line of the night until a later one, and I won't spoil that one.
Sure. Match is a lot of outside the ring, this one. And this is actually a longer match than I thought, given the fact that Jared the King Lawler is going to be participating in it. And he's giving Mankind the upper hand, and Mankind just the way that, like, the King just throws him around. He's such, like, a limp body. Like, Jared the King Lawler, like, elbow him outside the rope or something, and he'll, like, fall so awkwardly onto the stairs, and he's just selling everything. It's a really, really good match.
This has got to be the best King match.
Hands down. By the thanks of Mankind, basically. Right?
Like, not even close. Not even close to being, like, close to number two. I don't know what number two would be.
By tenfold, right? But Jerry the King Lawler keeps pulling something out of his trunks every time he goes to hit Mankind. It might be, like, it's not brass knuckles, but it might be some sort of weight that he holds in his fist, and we never really get to see it.
I feel like he used that before against Jake the Snake or somebody.
Yeah. But I thought we were able to see it, but maybe we weren't before. And then there's a spot where Mankind is kind of outside on the ring apron, and Jerry the King Lawler bites Mankind's ear.
Yeah, and this is crazy because I saw it, like, he's trying to bite his ear off, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh, this must have been, like, right after the Evander Holyfield Mike Tyson fight where Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear off.
That must have been right around this time, anyways.
And then I just saw before we start recording that was. Now, so this happened June 8th. Right now, where we're recording is June 29th.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, or actually 20th, it happened the 28th, 20 days after this. So he stole that. He's clearly watching this. He's watching this because Ken Shamrock's calling him out, so he's got to be watching all these wrestling shows. Right. Mike Tyson stole the ear-biting move from Jerry the King Lawler, who used it on Goldust. I don't know if this is, like, what it was the whole time or if this is just us messing with time and the rest of us.
I think we're... the fact that Psycho Sid is back, I think we really did.
So I'm pretty sure that wasn't real. No. I saw in the crowd an RWO sign. That's Robert World Order. Yeah. That's your sign.
Yeah, but I started pushing that in September.
Oh, man. And we're not even close to September.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got us messed up for sure. Jerry the King Lawler hits a pile driver, and this was a close one, but Mankind kicks out. Jerry the King Lawler ends up going for a roll-up later on and gets caught in the mandible claw, and Mankind will take the W. So now it's Triple H versus Mankind for the King of the Ring later on tonight. We're met with Brian Pillman backstage, and he's doing an interview, and he's basically calling out Stone Cold. And in the back, you kind of see a little bald head moving around, and Stone Cold sneaks up from behind him during mid-interview and attacks Brian Pillman, grabs him, throws him into a fence that's back there for some reason or another, drags him into the bathroom, and Stone Cold gives Brian Pillman a swirly in what looked like the grossest bathroom I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's just, like, trash on the floor. Yeah. Like, they couldn't have been like, oh, yeah, no, we'll get one of the regular, normal, clean bathrooms. But I guess in
like
Providence...
Like the locker room, maybe? Yeah.
I wanted to take a video, though, of Stone Cold coming up behind Brian Pillman. Like that should be a meme.
Yeah.
That should totally be a meme. Like, oh, hell yeah. You know, and... But that's hilarious. I don't know the point of it. I have no idea. I know they have a match tomorrow at Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's leading up to that. Maybe it's going to be a person's head in the toilet bowl match. It could be.
It was a gross... I don't even think there was a door on that stall of where to go. It was a cringy bathroom, if you will. We're moving on to our next match. That was actually good. I think my attention wasn't there because I didn't think it would be good.
Well, you never thought that King would win that one. Or you're talking about the next match?
I'm talking about the next one.
This one, too. I mean, but like the King Mankind match was good, but you never thought King was
going to
win.
Yeah. And because I know that these guys are going to be wrestling later on, I'm like, they'll conserve their energy for these matches and then put on the game.
But it was good. And then, this next match, this is...
crushing gold dust here.
Well, I don't even think this was advertised.
It wasn't. And I was thinking, I'm like, well, both of these guys were in King of the Ring anyway, so maybe...
It's like a consolation, like it's a reserve match if something happens. Maybe it is legit what it was.
Yeah.
If something happened to one of the semifinalists, one of these guys would step in the finals.
Sure, could be. It'd be like the consolation. Also, speaking of not knowing or not having anything advertised, Goldust is actually going to face British Bulldog for the European Championship tomorrow night on Raw.
And I didn't hear anything about that except for a sign in the crowd said, Goldust. European Goldust.
European Goldust. And then that's when they
plugged it. Vince is like, he could be European champion tomorrow night.
What is that Gorilla Monsoon?
Who?
The head of sign.
No, maybe. But we do hear some tough news about our boy, Gorilla Monsoon.
Under the weather.
Under the weather.
Some say that Tom gave him COVID.
Issues. I might have gave him COVID. We were down there. I don't. It's probably just a cold. Probably just cold, no way of knowing. He is under the weather, not feeling well, unable to perform his duties, so he's at home recovering. Hopefully he's okay. We need him to restore order, as we'll find out here soon, because shit goes off the rails on this pay-per-view.
Yes.
The only thing that would have been keeping people there is Gorilla Monsoon.
All right. And Sonny can't be the only one signing these contracts.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because she's too busy squirting people.
Yeah.
Wetter is better.
Wetter is better is what I hear. By the way, sponsored. Super Soaker is sponsoring this pay-per-view. I'll move through on this match, but outside the ring and the Crush and Goldust match, D'Lo Brown and Clarence Mason kind of pin Marlena in a corner, and they're giving me real rape vibes.
You don't know that it wasn't consensual.
Objection, Your Honor. He wanted to ejaculate, or whatever.
Yeah, D'Lo, though, he does the little, like, that's like his move for ladies. He does the little neck roll.
I don't see why that wouldn't work in any situation.
Have you tried it?
You should try that when you return cans.
I'm going to try it. Next time I return cans, I'll walk
do
in.
Do it.
Like that, you know, like D'Lo.
Yeah. You got to move your neck. You're doing shoulder. You're doing a lot of shoulders.
Oh, yeah, but he does do his shoulders too, doesn't he?
Sure, but that's like you got to shimmy the shoulders and then.
So I'm not going to get there today. I got to practice.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's like
I'm going to like throw my neck out if I go D'Lo hard right now.
Yeah.
If I go D'Lo.
Tom's like, I'm going to be at the next episode. I'm like, tell us about a can story. You're just like in a brace. And you're like, well, it wasn't as good as last time.
Didn't make it through the door. Yeah. Started the neck roll too early.
Right, you start by the car corral.
Yeah, I got my car.
Yeah. What was it? Move it up, move it all back.
Walk it up. I'm so sad that nobody will have seen that before, but they've heard it if they listen to the previous episode.
Yeah, that's why I had to bring it into this one. So anyways, we all know Goldust probably can't do a curtain call to Crush on this one.
Probably and certainly.
He just ends up doing a DDT for the win.
Very anticlimactic.
Yeah. But it was a long match, Marlena, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, I guess. But not anything we cared about. Not a great finish. And then Marlena and Goldust do a bunch of kissy stuff. And it's weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I want to see more.
It's not like they were making out. I would have been way more on board with them making out. But they were just like doing little pecks.
They were smooching.
And then they smile and then they do another peck. Yeah. And then for Goldust saying he's a hetero guy, I don't know there. That didn't.
Yeah. Like, I love chicks. Like, look at this. Look at that kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our next match is the three-way tag, which we have Legion of Doom with Psycho Sid, and they are going to face the Hart Foundation. And Owen, then, British Bulldog, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
It's a video. It's an interview with LOD and Psycho Sid. I'm like, I can't wait for this. I am so excited to hear what they have to say. And I wouldn't say I was disappointed, but it wasn't quite as disgustingly hilarious as I thought. But we have a hell of a gem here from Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah, I'm hoping you remember the line, because all I wrote down was diddly do squat.
That's all you need. And he said, revenge is a dish best served cold. And, well, we're going to serve the diddly do squat coldest serving of revenge.
I'm loving him now. I hated him.
Diddly do squat. That sounds like a Bill Cosby thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the killer, the new, and the animal, and the roadhog, and the skinnily dibbly doo squat.
Stinky, stinky Swiss side.
Was Hawk banging unconscious women?
I think he might have been banging women while unconscious. That's the diddly doo squat.
100%. He's a big doing drugs guy. That's so funny. We gotta do like a bit where like Hawk just wakes up from like a what a rush.
I'm so stinky.
What if he just like passes out and they're like, oh my god, this guy needs CPR. Like animal's like, you're gonna have to just fuck him to wake him up. What a rush.
It's the only thing that does it, that or going to North Korea.
Like, I don't know, Hawk. Like, how do I get on this dick? Just diddly do squat on it.
So, I don't know, Hawk.
Yeah, I don't know, Hawk.
I don't know about this. Just diddly do squat on it, baby.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I have to try that line next time. You're going for intercourse.
Yeah.
Diddly do squat on it, sweetheart.
It's not even hard.
I'm not after you say that. It's not going to be, because you'll be laughing too hysterically.
Just diddly do squat on it. All right, so we'll get into this match. LOD and Psycho Sid versus the Hart Foundation. It was a long match. A lot of very evenly matched out, but I'll just kind of cut to the chase. Psycho Sid does a choke slam to British Bulldog at the end, and Psycho Sid tries to give Bulldog a power slam, but then Owen jumps off the top rope and goes for a roll-up, and again, it's kind of botched. He hasn't really hooked the legs, but ends up like going back, hooking legs, and Hart Foundation actually get the W here. I did not see that coming. I figured with LOD and Psycho Sid, like fan favorites, they got to...
Hey. Keep it going. Keep it going. And before that, or no, this is actually later, and I'm just going to jump in and say it now because it's kind of pointless. Did you even put notes in there
for
Bret Hart's, like, his promo? Mm. Yeah, you did, but, like, we're going to talk about it now.
Okay.
And this is why I think that might have happened is because before the Stone Cold Shawn Michaels match, the Hart Foundation comes out and Bret Hart takes 37 minutes to tell everybody that he is going to challenge any 5 wrestlers to challenge the Hart Foundation at this Canadian Stampede, which sounds like it's in Your House on July 6th, which could be our next pay-per-view. And if they could, it's just pretty much no 5 people can beat us, and if they want anybody to come along. I could see that being those 3, and maybe you add in Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels here.
I was thinking that. That would be a hell of a match.
Yeah, though. That would be great. And so that's kind of what I'm guessing. And so that's why they got the upper hand. And then maybe...
Can I throw a curveball your
way? Okay, okay. I'm ready.
5 guys can definitely be them. But if we're thinking a little bit later, maybe Nation of Domination plus Ahmed?
I don't know why Ahmed would be involved.
I'm just thinking, maybe foreshadowing, maybe he becomes part of the Nation.
Because we haven't seen Wolfie D and JC Ice yet anymore.
Ever since they lost to LOD. Some say we are Wolfie D and JC Ice.
Me and you?
Loving in color, Farouk will fuck your mother, diddly-doo squat on the pot, in my drop top cruising the streets. Kerplop. He said that before Usher did. Just saying, gotta give Wolfie D some credit here.
Wolfie D, I do believe, was a ghostwriter for Usher.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he was one of the
confessions. All the confessions.
So this is a regular Double J scenario.
Yeah, no, yeah, kind of. I mean, the confessions, Let It Burn, those 3 songs, those were all Wolfie D. I don't know if the other any other ones were. You got it bad, maybe.
I thought
that was about Farouk. Yeah.
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 You want to go King of the Ring match already happening here? We got 3 matches left.
Mankind. These, okay, guys, so this is where it gets awesome.
I have a lot of notes for these, because these are the 3.
These are all great matches. Would probably fit into top 10 that we've seen. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. 3 of these matches, top 10 that we've ever seen in our covering of the Turnbuckle Time Machine.
Yeah, I would even go crazy and say maybe top eight. Like a MySpace top eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who, shout out to MySpace.
Who are you knocking off of your top eight for that, though?
I think every match with Mankind is going to have to stay.
Not every match.
I might have to...
not every match that he's had was a top five or eight match. Okay. But his couple with Undertaker, his Shawn Michaels one...
I might have to throw away
the Bulldog Shawn Michaels is staying, I think.
Yeah, the controversial one, for sure. That was like... That was holding...
Not the controversial... Well, no, yeah. One was good and the other one. Uh-huh. The other one was better that he actually won.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe throwing one of the HBK Bulldog
ones. I would say the controversial one goes out.
Because the ending was...
It wasn't botched. Right, it was just like,
for the time, it was great. Right. But yeah, these were a lot better. So Mankind and Triple H for the King of the Ring. And matches starting off, we're already like 10 minutes in, but I'll get to the notes after that. So good. Inside the ring, outside the ring. And there's another spot where Mankind gets caught in the ropes again. And sometimes you can usually tell that, like, he's okay. He did not look okay at all.
No, he pulls himself out really quickly.
Yeah, the ref comes over there.
So he must have been feeling like he was getting choked out.
Yeah, the tension between those two ropes, it just looked like it was, you know, all of his weight at the end.
And he pulls himself off, and his mask comes off, too. So then he has to, like, grab it and put it back on. I thought he'd just go the rest of the match without it.
Yeah. In the match, back inside, Triple H ends up going for the pedigree, but then it's reversed into the mandible claw. And we're a little bit outside near the ring apron, and China ends up grabbing Mankind by the hair and throwing him out of the ring. And again, Molly Percocet, his mask's off.
Yeah, she's ripping it off. It must have got compromised there. So now...
Mask on? Mask off.
Get your mask off. Mask off.
And then,
who is that? Future?
That's Future, yeah.
From the future.
It all ties full circle here again. And then we're back into the ring, and Mandible Claw at the top of the turnbuckle.
Really cool. He's got Triple H up here, Mandible Claw, and Triple H is basically helpless. The only thing he can do, his only one move, is a... Right to the eyes.
Yeah.
And he throws him off balance. But it is weird. Now, Mankind is wrestling without his mask, so it's like Mick Foley or Cactus Jack here.
Mm-hmm.
Looks weird. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see, again, like, because he's just that character with the mask on. It's just so
But now he looks like a human being. I don't know if I appreciate all his bumps. I mean, I do, but, like, come on, he's a human being.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be doing that.
Good thing he took the biggest worm and sucked it down.
Sucked it down. Shout out to GB.
Yeah, so both men are outside the ring, and China is still lingering a little bit on the outside, and Mankind goes to jump off the ring apron to Triple H, which is on the barricade, and China grabs Triple H's arm and pulls him out of the way. Mankind ends up taking a big bump along that metal railing. And the ref is trying to kick China out now. Like, enough is enough.
Yeah, he, like, throws her out.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think she leaves.
She doesn't.
She's kind
of
like...
But she's out of the way.
She's going to leave. Yeah. So like, I won't do it again.
Yeah. They're doing their thing in the corner. And Triple H grabs Mankind, puts him on Vince and JR's announcing table.
Yeah, he doesn't even use the Spanish announce table. No. Which is rare.
Very rare.
You go straight to the main table. Uh-huh. And they also had a French broadcast, so they could have went to the French table.
Either one.
Could have went to the Spanish table. Dago to the American
table. You can't say Dago.
Did I say that?
You said Dago.
No.
Dago.
The French, not the Italian.
Not the Italian table. Yeah. When you hear your family.
What's the matter, you? There was no Salvatore Sincere.
There wasn't.
Here.
No.
What are you talking about? You stupid jerk.
You mortal fuck.
Oh.
All right. So Triple H ends up doing a pedigree through the table to Mankind. And Triple H gets back in the ring to avoid a countout. And Mankind's stumbling up to the ropes. And China comes up from behind. And
well, did you express the severity of this pedigree, though, before we get into
it? No. Let's back it up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this pedigree.
Because... He pedigrees him through the table. Like you would see, you know, a few years later, announce table pedigree happened all the time. That was those announce tables they built to be pedigreed through. This is a regular folding table with a tablecloth. This is very similar to our setup here.
Yeah, mahogany.
Plastic mahogany. And he pedigrees him, and his face just goes straight into the wood.
Yeah.
And that's, it doesn't break.
The legs, like,
the legs give out, like, and eventually buckle, it breaks, but it is such a hard bump. It's almost like when he went off the ring face first through the table.
Yeah, and his head went through it, but
there's no hole. It's just like, bam, and we're like, oh, man, is that a tough bump.
With no mask.
With no mask for protection.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But, yeah, so but he's still alive, so that's what we know. Yeah. And he gets back up on the ring apron, which is where Robert was here.
Yeah, back on the ring apron, trying to get in to avoid that count out. And China hits him with the King of the Ring scepter.
Which is solid gold. It shatters. Solid gold.
Shatters over Mankind's back.
What? He is just beat, man. He gets in the ring.
Yeah, Triple H kicks Mankind off of the ring. Ends up laying onto a camera
that's
guy.
That's a hilarious bump because I feel like Triple H had to wave the guy, like, get the fuck out of the way. And then he did it, and he landed right on the camera.
Yeah, and then he, like, the camera guy, like, falls back, and he's like, like, plays dead.
He's like, I finally got my chance to take a bump.
Exactly. And then Triple H gets Mankind back into the ring, and it's a one, it's a two, or gets him back in the ring for a pedigree. It's a one, it's a two. It's a three, Triple H, ladies and gentlemen, the 1997 King of the Ring. Grab his scepter, which is broken. Can't give him that. Grab him his crown and his cape. Is it a cape?
Cloak.
Cloak.
Yeah.
Cloak.
Kingly robe, maybe?
Yeah. We'll say robe. I like robe. Robe. Better. Yeah. So they give and they present it to Triple H, and Triple H takes the crown and just starts beating the shit out of Mankind with it.
He's not.
It's a nice crown.
He's the king now. If anyone deserved it by birthright, let alone earning it, would be Triple H. Hunter Helmsley, the blue blood.
Which I believe you are correct on this.
I won it, and you got to do a shot of that coffee tequila now. Or this Johnny Walker Blue Label.
Why don't you, your phone's there. Why don't you send a text and get that Jaeger in here?
I can text people? You think Klaus can get the Jaeger?
Yeah, Klaus got the Jaeger.
All right. We'll make it happen.
He's got a Boost Mobile.
Yeah. I'll chirp? I'll chirp him.
Chirp him? No, his chirp's back. He can't hear it underwater.
Oh, right. What a waste. Why would you get Boost Mobile then?
It was just cheaper for Klaus. He thinks it's, like, state of the art. He thinks it's the iPhone 14.
He's a goddamn fish.
We are moving on to my match of the night. Actually, I don't know. Is this my match of the night? Stone Cold? Shawn Michaels?
It's certainly mine. And even, I love the ending here, man.
The Triple H Mankind, though, it's up there. So we'll move on. You did talk about Bret's issue of the five wrestlers earlier. But Bret Hart does come out on commentary, and he comes out and realizes that, Vince and JR's table is broken. So they're like, well, we can't do commentary out here. So I'm going to go ahead and leave. Now, in my notes, and I don't know how this started, but we talked about, for some reason, JR were merging the characters of Jim Ross and Lizzo.
How it happened was, he said in a minute, and then you said in a minute in your JR voice, and I thought that what a great idea if JR was just doing Lizzo lines
just
the whole time.
He just sang.
You're Anita. I'm Anita. You do the better JR.
Sentimental. I just don't know the many Lizzo songs.
Oh, dude, I know all the Lizzo songs.
Where's like, well, quite frankly, he's already in my DMs.
It's. Fat bitch o'clock.
Yeah. No. I'm going to cut you off right there because it's thick 30. My God, it's thick 30. My God, it's thick 30. It ain't my fault because I'm out here getting loose.
One man great, two they got to be great.
Actually, my favorite Lizzo version of that song is the Kids Bop version of that song.
Do they bleep out the Minnesota Vikings part? Because I appreciate
it.
I
forget. We'll listen to it after this. But they keep the Minnesota Vikings on there, but it's just the things that they replace are kind of.
You're
going
to have to listen to a lot of Lizzo now to do this character, because I can't do the voice like you do.
Well, just give me some lines. I might know them.
It's all about the juice. Or no, blame it on the juice. Blame it on the juice.
Because I'm out here getting loose. We'll come back next week. We'll come back next week with some good
You
lines.
Guys wait. You guys wait for J.R. Lizzo.
It ain't my fault.
It ain't my fault I'm out here getting loose.
JR's Lizzo is so stupid. So stupid.
And he always talks about football. People used to play. I got a new man on the Minnesota Vikings.
New man on the Minnesota Vikings right here.
He gets into, and we'll get, well, I guess we'll get into that one, but it's in this match, so HBK versus Stone Cold. He talks about HBK's dad, and you know he always has this football knowledge, like that these people played football in these other
times. Yeah, he talks about Farouk.
He talks about HBK's dad, and I don't remember if he says it's HBK's, so HBK's dad was a colonel.
Colonel?
Was a colonel, and then Stone Cold, it's either Stone Cold's dad or HBK's dad. Was a starting football player for Rice University.
Okay.
And played on the team the last time they won the Cotton Bowl, which I don't know when the hell that was, probably in the 60s.
Sure.
But what an obscure reference.
Yeah, I mean, that's what? That's just living rent-free in your head? Blame it on the juice, yeah.
Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault I'm out here getting loose.
Bill's Paulsley Lizzo.
Boomer Sooner.
I'm going to need a sentimental.
I'm going to need a sentimental. Man, I want
to pump me up. Slobberdogger.
Slobberdogger. Pump me up.
Pump me up. Oh, God. This is great. We got to have just an episode.
I can't wait for the interview between J.R. Lizzo and Triple H Trump. To talk about his King of the Ring victory.
We got a lot of roles out there. Almost too many roles, goddamn. HBK and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And the match is getting started. A couple punches, couple kicks, couple Irish whips.
Big Irish whip guy.
And a special needs person runs out of
Okay, guys. This is the craziest thing. I'm watching. Robert's like, oh, you know what? The match is starting. I could boil some noodles. No big deal. He's boiling noodles. Okay. Boiling noodles. Almost done. I'll give him that. Almost done.
Almost done.
I'm like, oh my God.
I was straining
them. He was straining the noodles. I'm like, oh my God, there's this special needs kid running out into the ring. And he didn't say that, but. I was thinking it. He
really said that. I just don't think. I don't know if the words.
I'm using the proper vernacular, and I feel like it's more respectable than what JR said. But let me get into the story here.
My God, retard!
I see this kid. He just like tries to run into the ring, and he looks like Stone Cold looks at him like, "The hell's going on?"
Yeah.
Clearly, mentally disadvantaged.
Yeah, certainly.
Then, like, he kind of looks at him, whatever. They kind of go back into fight a bit. Shawn Michaels, like, looks, realizes what's happening, goes out of the ring.
Oh, by the way, the security's, like, roughing him up.
They're holding him, like, holding him by legs and feet. Like, they're going to carry him out like he saw. Like,
they carry
he's,
him.
Like, the Godwins would carry a hog on Christmas dinner.
I got one more. They carried him out like that bitch in Ray Rice's elevator.
Yeah, well, not that bad. He just like grabbed her by the leg and dragged her. They had like two guys. But this is crazy. So somebody's like, "Hey guys, what the hell are you doing?" Like, get him. And he gets up and like looking at Sean, and he's like in shock. And JR says that this is a Special Olympian.
Well, it was Vince.
Vince said it first.
Anything could happen here in the Royal Restoration. Something. Yeah, and Shawn Michaels was helping that Special Olympian.
So my question, was it a Special Olympian and they had knowledge, or was
Let's not get
just...
offended, but my guess is he probably wasn't a Special Olympian.
But they didn't know that they could just say...
That was his PC version of saying...
Okay. Well, okay.
Different time.
Nonetheless, this goes on for a while. this kid is like getting away from security, and
with a look of like fear, confusion,
and like sadness. I don't know. From what the announcers made it sound like, he's a big Shawn Michaels fan, and he was going in to beat up Stone Cold because he's a big Shawn Michaels fan. Mm-hmm. But they said they think he fell over the railing and then like was just in the ring area and decided to get in the match or something. Shawn goes out of his way to help the kid get like corralled and like, dude, let's get out of here. Shawn eventually his mom comes in and like, yeah, they go and walk away. And the kid gets a good pop, though. I'm not going to lie. The kid is over with the crowd.
Sure.
And it's just so bizarre. It's a crazy thing.
Yeah. What a fryer.
We need to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. If you are that special, just look up every Special Olympian.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Maybe
in 97. Well, at least from like 97 and past.
But the Olympics would have been in 96, would have been the year.
Oh, that's true. Right. So that should be easy.
Yeah. He's probably the guy beat Kurt Angle beating the champion.
He was the best pole vaulter.
He was the silver medalist. He was the silver medalist Kurt Angle beat to wrestle. Yeah. No wonder they were worried.
You suck. You suck. All right, so the match does eventually continue after that. That was a good like 6 minutes of stuff going on. And HBK is actually getting a lot of just offense here. And Stone Cold's kind of looking like a bitch. He's getting out of the ring and whatnot. And then outside the ring, when things start getting real heated, HBK is taking a lot of big bumps on the rails, which that is definitely not a cocaine reference.
Oh, man, look at all these rails and getting all these big bumps on it. What are you talking about, wrestling? Still wrestling.
Outside the ring, Stone Cold is now tearing up the pads along ringside. And Shawn is back inside and he does that spear against the turnbuckle where Stone Cold moves and he ends up hitting the pole there. Doesn't quite do a Goldberg on himself, but hits his shoulder. And this is like, I was saying this to you, like, that spot always, I'm like, ugh, very cringy on. But you can, like, hear his shoulder hit the mat. And then his, like, pants fall down. And you can see his ass crack.
Yeah, Stone Cold kind of pulls it down a bit, I think.
Yeah, and you could see Shawn Michaels has a tattoo on his ass.
Yeah, you see like top fifth of his ass, I would say. Top 20% of that.
Top 20.
He has a heart that says HBK on his ass tattoo. The crowd is the highest pitched scream I've ever heard in a wrestling event. Yeah. They're so excited about his ass being 20% out.
Usually you can't make out like specific people in the crowd. You can hear them like clear as day as if
it's
they were
all
like
all the girls. Yeah. Every girl there is screaming, oh my, and then every time his ass comes in camera view, they scream louder. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's great.
Good spot. Spot of the
if
night.
If only we could all have asses like that.
Sure. I'm an ass man. There's a spot in here where there's a reverse clothesline and Stone Cold actually hits Tim White. So the ref is now down.
And this has been such a great match.
Stone Cold turns around, sees Tim White on the ground.
Then Shawn Michaels going for a sweet chin.
Sweet chin. Stone Cold catches reverses, it.
Yeah.
Hits the stunner. Goes for the cover.
I counted at least 7 or 8 myself here. But
the
there's
ref
no
is
referee.
Out. Ref
there's
is
no
out.
Referee to be seen. He's laying down. Stone Cold got to go corral him, gets him up, wakes him up. He is up on his feet. Stunner to the referee.
Tim White. By the way, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Tim White, our favorite referee.
Gone too soon.
Would you say if you're putting a referee ranking together, Tim White's 1 or 2 for you? Or 3? I think those are the only acceptable places.
I would probably put Earl above.
Earl's
him.
Number 1. I can
and then
see that.
Tim
I agree.
White, probably number 2.
Number
for
2.
Sure.
I'm a big, what's his name? The other guy. I forgot his name, but I always know his name. But the tall, skinny, blonde guy.
Oh, from SmackDown?
Yeah.
Well,
he's on there now, too. Either way, I guess Tim White's number 2 because I forgot that guy's name. So
yeah.
I don't really
yeah,
that much
there
about.
You go. Yeah. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And then gives the ref a stunner, and then Shawn hits the sweet chin music on Stone Cold. The ref is out. Sean's going for the cover. Another ref comes out, but he's not there to do a count.
He's checking on Timmy.
Instead of counting, he goes to check on Tim White. Then that ref gets up, and Shawn Michaels hits that ref with the sweet chin music.
Now we don't know what's going on. Earl Hebner comes out, finally our saving grace, but he's pissed at both of them for knocking the other refs out.
Mm-hmm.
And he declares...
Well, actually, let me back it up there. Okay. Tim White goes for a cover, or is up now. HBK covers Austin. It's a 1-2, and Stone Cold kicks out of that sweet chin music.
That is true. I did miss that.
Yeah, that was a big... We thought that was going to be the end there.
That's when Sean gets mad. Yeah. And sweet chin music's the other ref and...
Right.
Timmy White's kind of still out of it.
Yeah. You know?
So then Earl comes in, pissed at them both, declares a double disqualification because they assaulted the referees. And wow. And this is, so we were talking during the match. We're like, Robert's like, if this ends clean, then Shawn Michaels has to win. And I agree. He did. Because we know that he's going to lose to Stone Cold at WrestleMania.
And he's kind of, I know that he had a match before this to get the tag titles, but like, it's kind of his first pay-per-view.
Right, he's just back, but he's still the guy. He's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building up Stone Cold, and you want him to get the title. You make it builds up the suspense if HBK wins. So we get a good ending here. I think even though it's like there's no resolution, but it's building the story, and it's still building to that WrestleMania, which I'm all on board for.
Yeah, good match. I like the double count out. We thought maybe Hart Foundation would interfere, but what angle does it
Hart Foundation's interfering. And they're doing a double count out, yeah, and that's how it's going to happen.
But I like this ending.
We got the double DQ, no Hart Foundation.
Both refs get signature moves.
That was great Attitude Era, like just glimpses, you know. And then we get to our main event, and this is where I have my line of the night, actually.
You want to do this? I'm going to go take a whiz, and then I grab a shot, because Klaus is sleeping or something.
Klaus didn't answer me back. Boost Mobile service is terrible here in this town, though, so it's weird.
You can't even connect to Wi-Fi anymore. On those.
Wow. Wow.
The new iPhone 14 you get.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So we have an interview with Farooq and the Nation of Domination. And they're asking him, basically, was he ready for this match? And this is where I get my line of the night. It is, so you know the story that Paul Bearer is blackmailing Undertaker because he has this secret that he wants to serve him, basically, and Undertaker is abiding by that. Farooq says, Undertaker, you don't need to fear Paul Bearer's blackmail. You need to fear this blackmail. Boom, mic drop. We're getting into the match. My best line of the night. That is just an iconic one, I would say. Especially, like, if he goes to win this, you got to think, man, that's what an iconic line to drop. Become the first African-American champion, world champion in WWF history. Then we get the match start. Farooq and the NOD comes out. Undertaker comes out. Typical Undertaker fashion, takes forever. And actually, they did do an interview with The Undertaker and Paul Bearer before this. There was another good line by Paul Bearer. The interviewee is asking Undertaker if he has any worries, any fears from Farooq here. We know, and he also says, you know, we will love you no matter what, Undertaker. No matter what this secret is, we will love you. And then he gives the mic to Undertaker and Paul Bearer's name. She's like, shut up, Lazarus. Give me the mic. And he just says, you're going to do whatever I want and whatever I say because I own you now, basically, because I have this secret over you. And we get to the match. We get a long entrance from Undertaker. And then while he's in the ring doing his Undertaker ceremonial undressing of himself, Farooq attacks from behind. And the match is underway. But before we get to it, we have a penance to pay here.
I do. I also brought another shot glass in case you just wanted to do one because this is such a good pay-per-view.
I would do one with the coffee.
Okay. We can do that.
I don't think I should have the same punishment as you since I won. Sure. You know.
Do a little less harsh of a shot.
You know, Jagerbomb, they used to call me Jagerbomb Tom about a year ago, but he died.
You want more than that? That's like an ounce.
Yeah, that's fine. How do you know? Just by looking?
Bartender.
Ah.
It's all about feel.
Guy.
It's all about the feel. I think these are probably...
I saw a video where someone's like, yeah, I hate when bartenders call themselves mixologists because... Or I hate when people call themselves mixologists because basically all that means you're just a bartender who does coke.
All bartenders
do coke. So cheers. Go cheers. Triple H.
Go
King,
Triple H.
King Hunter.
Triple H Trump.
What a shot. Almost the worst shot I've ever done. Ooh. Farouk and Undertaker, you did your line of the night.
I did.
Blackmail. We're going to get demonetized.
We should make shirts. This blackmail.
We're not going to do
no,
shirts.
No, we're not going to make shirts.
Terrible idea.
We'll do records.
Yes. They will play play a part
objection,
in our
world. Objection, Your Honor!
Objection, Your Honor! Do we get in this match at all
I
yet?
Just said Farouk attacked Undertaker from behind.
While he's talking to Paul Bearer. Yeah, and then Undertaker is doing his famous...
this is a cool spot, yeah.
This was a very cool spot.
He's doing the old school.
On the rope, grabs Farouk's hand, and instead of hitting Farouk, he does a crossbody to all the NOD members outside of the ring. Very cool spot. Has he ever done that?
And then he gets
that?
Up and just starts pummeling it. All of them. Just bam. Crushes down. Bam. Savio's down. Bam. D'Lo. Bam. Clarence Mason. Whoever else is there.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
Good match. This wasn't... I mean, you can't really follow the other two matches that were there. Especially, we knew the outcome of this match.
So, these are all Hall of Famers. Like, these six matches. These six
Definitely,
guys. All
yeah.
Hall of Famers. Yeah. And it's like... Great, 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 you know. And I love it.
I mean, these matches...
But Undertaker Farouk's not going to be as good. You know that it's not going to be as good as Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, of the best five wrestlers
and
of all
Triple
time.
Triple H Mankind.
Triple H Mankind, two of the best 10 wrestlers of all time. Undertaker, top five, I would say. Farouk, top, like, 20. Maybe not 20. Maybe top 25 to 30, but...
25.
Still a good match, yeah.
Definitely top 50, but he would probably rank somewhere around like 28, 30,
he's mid in that
mid,
list, but...
Yeah. Mid, by the way, is a new slang term.
Yeah.
Yeah, people say mid for what? Like good?
Anything, no. Anything that's just not good, but not
bad.
Oh, it's
not good. It's
just like, eh.
Oh.
Like, you remember weed? Remember when we used
to
buy weed?
Mids had, like, seeds and shit.
That's what they're
Those
talking
about. Those are mids.
Yeah. But they don't have mid weed anymore.
No.
This is all just really good weed
every
now.
Time I...
So other things have to be mid. Like, oh, man, that blowjob, pretty mid, girl.
No, I think because you can grow your own weed now, there are some... Sometimes, like, I'll be somewhere and I'm like, oh, my God, someone's smoking mids. Like, I could smell just really shitty weed sometimes. So there's still mids out there. So mids just kind of meh.
Yeah,
same man.
The damn girl,
same
that's pretty mid.
She's meh.
Yeah.
Meh is better, I think. Yeah. Same amount of letters.
Meh is a little more demeaning. Mid is just like, okay, like, we get.
We'll smash.
Yeah. Like,
we'll
get what you're doing. Like, it's just you could do better.
You could do better. All right, so that was a cool spot. And then, for some reason, now, Clarence Mason is getting some attention.
Clarence!
And Crush and Savio are going at it ringside, and you hear Clarence Mason say,
Objection, Your Honor!
So Crush and Savio are, like, pushing each other, and Farouk goes over there like, what the fuck's going on? And Undertaker grabs him, sets up the tombstone. It's a two, it's a three. Undertaker retake.
It's not even a big deal. One move, boom, over.
Yeah,
over.
It was a good match.
It was all right. Yeah, the ending was. I could have thought they could have done a little more at the ending, but just give him the upper hand, lands the moves, chokes him, tombstone, whatever. But he does get the win. There's still some dissension with NOD.
Were they concerned on time on this one?
It was a long pay-per-view. They should have never let Brett do a fucking promo. That's the problem.
Did we say this already? Where you go, oh my God, there's an hour left and there's two matches.
Yeah.
And then Brett comes out and you're like, this is why we have an hour left. God damn. Yeah. He's doing a promo?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He said time like 20 times.
Yeah, we drank every time
he said
time.
20 times. He said times, 20 times.
20 times, yeah. 20 times 20.
Oh, but this isn't the end of the pay-per-view, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
This is just the beginning. And
yeah.
We get Well, Undertaker does clear house with NOD.
So they all kind of come in. NOD comes in, Crush, Savio, you name it, and he gives choke slams to every single one of the guys that come inside the ring. And now Paul Bearer is demanding that the Undertaker take Farouk and give him another choke slam. Undertaker's very hesitant about this.
He already beat him. Why does he need to do it?
Undertaker grabs Farouk and does another choke slam. And well, now Paul Bearer Bearer is demanding more out of another Undertaker here. He wants him to do it again. Pick him up, Undertaker. Pick him up, Undertaker. Undertaker hits another choke slam to Farouk. Paul Bearer's not done.
That's got to be enough.
I would think so. Paul Bearer's not done.
No.
Yes. Pick him up, Undertaker. And now I'm thinking Undertaker's just going to... He's at his, like, peak. I think he's going to grab Paul Bearer and choke slam him. But he grabs Farouk again, picks him up, and choke slams him again for a third time.
That's it, though.
Paul Bearer's not done.
No.
Pick him up, Undertaker. He goes to grab Farouk. Is that the Pearl River Plungy? Plunger?
It's Powerhouse.
Plunger?
Pearl River Plunger.
Yeah.
Is that Betsy?
Yeah. Is that Betsy? God, R.I.P. to Betsy. Didn't we have a bet when would we see Betsy again?
I don't know. We haven't.
I said 2022.
2022. Yeah. Well, Betsy coins. Betsy coins. Right
yeah.
Now.
Everything's tanking.
Betsy coins.
Actually, the
Betsy
only
Betsy coins in the toilet. In the toilet. Get it, guys? In the toilet.
Good thing we cashed out.
Good thing we cashed out
early. Seven, yeah. It was a. You could say it was a pump and dump.
Oh.
Ahmed Johnson comes out to not really quite to defend Farouk, but just to kind of get Undertaker back on track here. He's telling Undertaker, like, what are you doing? Enough's enough. You do it. It's racist when I do it.
Get it together. Get it together. What are you doing? This is a human being. It's a human being right here. And I hate to say, I agree. He is right.
I agree.
He's right. What is he doing? He's just catering to Paul. Paul Bearer is so like just drunk with power right here. Red-haired Paul Bearer with a just slightly smaller bandage on his head.
Is drunk
with power.
He's going to look like Nelly next week.
Right. Yeah. He might. Nelly might have stole that from him. We will find out. We'll let you know on that. But I think he was the voice of reason. But Undertaker is still... listening to Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere,
Undertaker goes to attack Ahmed Johnson.
And Ahmed kicks him. Double underhook. Pearl River plunge. He lands it on a 300-pound Undertaker.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that the best Pearl River plunge we've seen?
It was so smooth. It wasn't like the best in terms of impact, but it was the best in just like... smooth transition, sit down clean. Like, he's done some to smaller guys, and it hasn't been that good. I think that's more because Undertaker knows what he's doing and sold it well enough to make it good. But, man.
I don't want to discredit
Ahmed. He does
that,
walks out,
very well.
Mic drop.
Very well.
And now I'm like, okay, you might have been right about that 5-on-5, Robert, because I'm seeing some Nation of Domination action here from Ahmed.
The Nation.
He was pissed about the No Black Champions. Now he's defending Farouk, kind of not on purpose, but he's just like, what's going on? This is stupid.
Still just the face, so.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
But where does he go? He just lost again. He needs a new direction. I think you're right.
I think we're not going to bother with the European title with him. That would, I guess, mean nothing. Right?
As they say.
Apparently, so.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
That's right. So that is 1997 King of the Ring. So far, our best pay-per-view and a lot more to come. Next Raw, I think, actually might be good.
This is so we got a couple. We got the Pillman, Austin. We got a European Championship. Could be some title changes. Could be some drama.
I still want to see what happens.
Stone Cold and HBK are still tag champs.
Still tag champs. How much is Undertaker going to put up with Paul Bearer shit? We'll find out.
And what is the secret?
By God, we don't know. Another pay-per-view in the books, guys. Stay tuned for our next episode of Monday Night Raw. Should be a good one. Until then, good night.
And God bless wrestling.